Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, New Testament Prophecy. And now with the word, here's Brother John.
I have the privilege of laying a foundation for these 4 days of prophetic conference this evening. And I'm very excited about what God is going to do. I just have to warn you, we have two very motivated and anointed prophetesses sitting on the front row, and if I don't hurry up, they're going to run all over me to get to prophesy over the people. And so I'm just going to be the apostolic foundation layer. I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I think it's always good to, when we come to a prophetic conference like this, to just lay a foundation of what is the prophetic about and why should we have the prophetic ministry. And so I'm going to just lay a foundation from the Word of God for us this evening. Matthew chapter 11, and we want to start at verse 11. Jesus is the prototype prophet. If we want to know anything about prophecy, Jesus is the one that we go to and that we learn from. He is talking about John the Baptist, who is the last of the old covenant prophets. And he says in verse 11, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." There's a very big gulf dividing the old covenant and its ministries and the new covenant and its ministries. And so often there has been a blurring of that distinction, particularly in the prophetic. Because we've had prophets who image themselves after old covenant, fiery-eyed, locusts hanging out their mouth, long hair, clothed in goat skins or whatever. Prophets who come and says, "Thus says the Lord, turn or burn, repent or die." But Jesus comes and marks a transition. And he says to these people, there's none greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What's he talking about? There is a new order called the kingdom of heaven. And the prophetic anointing that was on John is a prophetic anointing that is now terminating because there is a new prophetic order arising in Jesus, who is the prophet, the Word of God. And if we don't understand that, we're going to get confused, because we're going to have people coming into the church and tearing the church up with words of, if you don't repent, God's going to do such and such. God doesn't talk like that. Jesus never talked like that. And so Jesus marks the delineation. This is what he says, verse 12. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." It's over. The Old Testament order is over at the end of John. Jesus marks the beginning of a new order. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What is the writer of the Hebrews saying? Jesus is God's final message. You say, well, Brother John, well, this is a prophetic conference. I want to declare this, that all prophecy is wrapped up in who Jesus is, points to Him, and flows out of Him, is an expression of Him, of His mind, of His heart, of His will, and His purpose. And if it doesn't do that, it's not New Covenant prophecy. Because Jesus is the Word of God to us. And the New Testament prophetic order flows out of the man, Jesus, and His body, whom we are. So we don't look for prophets in the Old Testament order. God has given gifted men and women to the body who are called prophets, but their task is not to come and have a holy convocation and give a word for the nation. The task of the prophetic order is to build up and edify the people of God to be a prophetic people, to speak the word of God in all the earth. See, the old prophet who comes around and says, I'm the prophet, hey, he's gone. Now, the prophetic ministry is the extension of Jesus' ministry. We've got to see that. Otherwise, you're going to get fouled up looking to some person who's got a mighty anointing. I'm telling you, listen to me. We are going to prophesy over you this week. And I hope every one of you gets a prophetic word. But listen, if all you get is a prophetic word and you don't get the prophetic anointing stirred in you so that you go from this place and you prophesy over your own life and over your marriage and over your children and over your finances, then we have failed. Because we are here to equip you for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I get tired of evangelists coming to town and preaching meetings and having a bunch of people saved, but they did not take their anointing and impart it to others to be evangelists. They're here to equip the body of Christ for the work of evangelism. And the prophetic office is here to equip the saints for prophesying. See? And so we're going to do it practically. Morning sessions, there are going to be times for all of you to prophesy, because otherwise we haven't done the ministry of Jesus. Okay, turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and let's see what he says about the fivefold ministry, as we call it, starting at verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave, these are his ascension gifts to the church. He just wanted to gift us, the church, and give us some special gifts to express His ministry to us, His heart, His will, His purpose. I'm telling you, I'm tired of prophets who don't have the heart of Jesus. Who want to make a name for themselves or want to come and just tear up churches. Listen, the heart of Jesus is a heart of mercy and compassion. He wants to build up, not tear down. A bruised reed He will not break. A smoking flax He will not quench, is the prophetic word about Jesus. He doesn't come to crush you. Bev was in a conference in Texas, not Florida, and there was a brother there whom we know very well from Corpus Christi, and somebody had shared a prophetic word over him, and Bev saw him and he was so discouraged. And this person had said to him, your ministry's over, basically. You've missed it. That's not the ministry of Jesus. That is not the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus flows out of his heart, and his heart is always to encourage and build up. Okay, so his ascension gifts, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, see, I want you to see, there's an edification that has to take place within the body for the body to reach its full maturity, and the full maturity of the body is what? Nothing less than the fullness of Christ. That's what he says. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I want you to see this. Because what has happened in the Church of Jesus Christ, most of our equipping ministry is geared toward equipping people to perpetuate our church programs. Our equipping and training ministry is to help people to learn how to fit into our church system and function in our church system. We're not equipping people to grow up into Christ Jesus. What is the goal? The goal is not to perpetuate the church. The goal is to be the expression of Jesus Christ in the earth. Now, let me show you what happens. Imagine a man who goes down to Virgin Active and works out every day and gets these massive muscles on his body, and he is so strong, but when his wife asks him to lift a little piece of furniture, he's not willing to do that. What are you building muscles for? What are you becoming such a healthy specimen of a man for, and so exercise for? It's to function. And so the body is being built up to function as the body of Christ in our world, in our culture, in our society. Well, what did Jesus do? He came to express the kingdom. He said, the old order is done, now it is kingdom. The church, if it's about me, it's going to be about kingdom. The church is not about the church, it's about kingdom. Church is where you come to build up your muscles and work out and build up one another so that we can be the agents of the kingdom in this city, East London, and the towns that, or cities that you come from. God is wanting to speak prophetic words, but not so that you go back and become a fat cat and say, well, how blessed I am. But so that you can become the agent of the kingdom. You become the expression of who Christ is. He said, since John came, since that point, it's about the kingdom. And everyone, he says in Luke 16, 16, is pressing into it. It's time to press in. It's time to press in. And we're going out to encourage people. Press in, press in, press in. And they want to see something in us that makes them want to press in. But I want to press into that kingdom. Because I see the kingdom of God operational in your life. I see the kingdom of God subduing all the manifestations of the kingdom of darkness in your life. You see, we've got so wrapped up with church. But Jesus, the man, is about kingdom. And the church is growing, and the gifts are operating in the church to build us up so that we can be the man, the body of Christ, Jesus in the world, which is to express the kingdom of God, be agents of the kingdom of God, and to operate in kingdom power and authority to see the purposes of God being expressed in the earth. So everything is about kingdom, okay? All right, now, I want to give you three purposes for the prophetic. And the first one is this: to declare the kingdom purposes of God in the earth. Jesus, when he started his ministry, began to declare what? The kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, I want you to see something incredibly wonderful. When God created Adam and Eve, what did he give them? He gave them dominion. He gave them authority over all the works of his hands. He gave to Adam dominion over everything that God had created. When he brought all the animals to Adam, when Adam named them, those were the names. God didn't contradict and say, whoa, Adam, I don't agree with that, let's change the name. God backed Adam's naming of every animal. Why? He had just given Adam dominion. So God's not going to usurp what he's already given. He gave to man dominion. Psalm 8 expresses that way. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visitest him? And then he says, you've put all things under his feet and given him dominion over all of the works of your hand. Well, guess what? That severely limits God in the earth. Oh, Brother John, I don't believe you said that. You mean God can't do anything? No. God cannot do anything. God cannot violate his word. And if he said, I give you dominion, guess what? He gave us dominion. And he is, and please don't misunderstand me, but he is beholden to a man to speak forth what is in his heart if he's going to be able to accomplish it in the earth. If Jesus didn't come into the earth and declare the Father's kingdom, the Father couldn't have restored dominion to Adam's race. Jesus was the one who came, and the first thing that he did was he declared his Father's kingdom. Why? Because God wanted to get back and restore to Adam's race the dominion that the enemy had usurped from him. And all of the, listen to me, this is incredible. All of the prophetic ministry is simply somebody agreeing with what God is saying in the heavens so that God can affect his kingdom purposes in the earth. See, God wants to impact every area of society, and he's going to do it through the church. We are the body of Christ. Jesus spoke into every area of society when he came. He turned society upside down. No, he didn't do it by going and tearing down, you know, the political institutions. You know how he did it? He expressed it in his relationships. For example, he elevated women to a new position. Women traveled with Jesus. Part of his ministry team. Supported him. Hey, that violated the culture. Jesus was turning up, overturning the culture of the day. There were so many things like that he did. In a subtle, quiet way, he was changing things, expressing the kingdom of God. See, and that's what he's looking for us to come into agreement with what he has said. You see, let me say this to you, child of God. Prophesying is not just Bev, Val, or myself, or others who are anointed with prophecy, standing here and predicting something that God is going to do in your life. Prophesying is when I take the word of God and speak it out loud and simply declare what God has already said. Because the moment I speak it out loud, it releases the power to effect it. Because God cannot do it until somebody comes into agreement with it. That's why it's so, his word is so important. That's why there's such an attack against you. When you're in a tough situation and you feel a verse rising up that is appropriate to that. Have you ever experienced how tough it is to get that verse of scripture out your mouth? The enemy's standing there and he doesn't want you to declare it. And there you are. And you're in a situation and you've got a situation, for example, of financial lack. And you try to confess this word, my God shall supply all you. And it's like there's an intense warfare right at the door of your mouth. What is it? Satan doesn't want you to declare, my God shall supply all your need. Because once you speak it forth, God can supply all your need. As long as you just think it in your head, it's not doing a thing. But the moment it is spoken, it has power. God is looking for a prophetic people to declare his purposes, his kingdom purposes in all the earth. Turn to Amos. Yes, let's just look at that quickly. Listen to what Amos says, and it's an amazing passage of scripture, which I love to go through and show you cause and effect normally, and I don't want to take too much time. But Amos builds the most amazing logical a build-up to make two statements that are absolutely powerful. He starts in verse 3 and he says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? The cause is agreement. The effect is they walk together. In fact, the word agreed is unless they have a starting point. It's impossible for two people to walk together unless at some point they came together. Okay? Cause and effect. The next one is, will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? The cause is the lion has got some prey. The effect is he roars. Will a young lion cry out of the den if he has caught nothing? The cause is a young lion has caught something. The effect is he cries out in the den. Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? Well, he has a very obvious one. A bird can't fall into a snare if there's no snare set. So the cause is somebody set a snare. The effect is a bird gets caught in it. Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? Something has to trigger the snare. Do you get what he's trying to say? He's saying there's a cause. Something triggered the snare mechanism. The snare snaps closed. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? What's the cause? A trumpet blows. What's the effect? The people are afraid. Why? Because they know that the trumpet has blasted a warning sound. Now, verse 6b, if there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? This is under the old covenant. God is speaking to Israel, who are under the covenant of law, and he says, if calamity comes upon you, you need to know that I have done it. The cause is you have sinned. Calamity has come. The effect is calamity has come. He's building a case. Praise God, this is not applicable under the new covenant, that one. Verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. What is the cause? The cause is he reveals to the prophets. The effect is God can then do it. Do you see that? You need to follow the logic. A lion has roared, who will not fear? The cause is the lion roars, the effect is fear. Now look at this. The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? The cause is, God has given revelation. Guess what the prophet has to do? I've got to declare, I've got to speak it out. There are two powerful verses. God does nothing without declaring it. When he reveals it, the prophets have to speak it forth. So, well, Brother John, you're quoting from the Old Testament. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. This is the future things, right? This is the things that he's prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And then I'm going to skip over to verse 13. These things we also speak. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, expressing spiritual things in spiritual words. See that? When God gives revelation, we have to speak it forth. The things that God has prepared for those who love him, he said he has revealed them to us by his Spirit, and we've got to speak it forth in words that the Holy Ghost teaches. Oh, I love that. Wow. So what's God waiting for? He's waiting for us who are the body of Christ. We are the man, Christ Jesus, in the earth. He's waiting for us to speak forth his kingdom purposes so that he can accomplish his purpose in the earth. And here's the deal. If we don't speak it forth, it limits God. If we don't speak it forth, it limits God. Wow. Now let me tell you what. If you who have received prophetic revelation don't speak it forth in your own mouth, in your own life, It's no good that a prophet declares it over you. You need to take that same word and you need to come into agreement with it and speak it over yourself constantly. You need to write down that prophetic word and you need to speak it out loud, audibly, over your life. You need to express agreement. We've got to speak the words that God is saying in words which the Holy Ghost has expressed and taught us. All right, that's the first thing, the first purpose of the prophetic. The second purpose of the prophetic is revealing the individual destiny of God's people in the earth. God does want to give you direction for your life and wants to give you destiny. Bev mentioned that we've raised both of our children with an intense sense of destiny. From their earliest, we declared over them destiny. Whenever we saw them trying to, you know, making a decision that wasn't in line with what we believed was their destiny, we would bring them back and remind them of their destiny in God. Why? It's really important. I want to encourage you fathers. Fathers, you should be prophesying over your kids. You should be prophesying over your children. Don't get mad at your kids when they are directionless. You are the prophet. Fathers who should be prophesying over your children and declaring the purposes of God over your children. Turn to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. And I could go to illustrations of that. You know, one of the tragedies of the Old Testament is this, that Abraham spoke words over Isaac early on. But the tragedy with Isaac is that he waits till he's about dead before he speaks prophetic destiny over his sons. And by that time, Esau's already made choices that have ruined his potential. And Jacob then waits too until he's on his deathbed before he prophesies over his son. He could have stopped all the trouble of Reuben and the brothers selling Joseph if he had declared their prophetic destiny when they were still kids. God had to break into Joseph in his dreams and reveal his prophetic purpose to him when there was his daddy Jacob who could have been prophesying over his boys. But he waited until they had already formed their characters and then he prophesies when he's about to die. It's too late, dads, to prophesy over your children when you're about to check out. You need to be prophesying over them when they're youngsters and declaring the will and purpose of God over them to keep them focused. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 says this, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. The word revelation means a vision or seeing. It comes from the Hebrew word to see or perceive, to look and see something. What is he saying? See, listen to me. He says, where there is no vision or prophetic revelation, the people cast off restraint. See, when you've got no destiny, you're unrestrained. If you go for this little attraction, you go for this little pleasure, you go into this little thing. Why? Because you've got no place you're going to. Do you understand? But if you've got a prophetic destiny, you look at a thing and you say, no, that doesn't fit in with my calling. That doesn't fit in with my destiny. You see, this is really important, people. That we lay hold of this, that we understand the purpose of God in this. Because a lot of people are just falling into this thing and into that thing, and they're being attracted into this thing and so on. Why? Because they don't have the prophetic revelation that keeps them focused. I tell you, Bev will know this. I mean, through all the years that we've, you know, God's taken us a journey. Many of you have heard parts of our testimony. But we've gone through a time when God took me out of ministry and I was driving trucks and so on. But you know, I never lost focus because of the prophetic word. Never lost that sense of destiny. I always knew where I was going. And we know our destiny. We know what God has said. We know we're focused. You know, some people look at us being in South Africa right now and living at Winter Strand and saying, you know, what are you guys doing? We're en route to our destiny. We know exactly where we're going. We know the purposes of God. But one thing we've learned along the way, to enjoy the journey and not delay life until we get to the destiny. We've discovered the journey is the destination in the purpose of God. And I can enjoy today as much as I can enjoy it when in 10 years' time I'm doing what God says I will be doing at that time. You understand? But I'm totally focused. I know where I'm going. And your children need to know where they're going. They need the prophetic revelation, or they'll cast off restraint and get into drugs and get into other things. They need a father's prophetic declaration over them. Okay, the third thing, the last thing. We need the prophetic ministry to restore momentum to our fulfilling God's purpose in the earth. 2 Chronicles 20:20 was the verse that I chose as sort of the introduction that was in your brochure that you received. 2 Chronicles 20:20. I just want to quickly look at it. It's a marvelous verse of scripture. Jehoshaphat speaking to the people of Judah as they're going out to come against the people of Moab. And this is what Jehoshaphat speaking to the people of Judah as they're going out to come against the people of Moab. And this is what Jehoshaphat says. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. The word established comes from the same word as to believe, the word believe there. Same root. And the word means to be set on the right, the road to the right. The root word. In other words, to be set on a chosen path, a specific path, not the left road, the road to the right. He says, believe his prophets and you shall prosper. The word prosper is a wonderful little word. It means, the root means to be pushed forward. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying this week that every one of you is going to be pushed forward. That you're going to have a restoration of momentum in your moving toward the destined purpose of God for your life.
Thank you, Lord.
That you're going to get a kick in the britches. You know, those of you who've just been floundering, you're going to suddenly find your tail's up, you've got focus, you're directed because the prophetic word has come. Now, let me tell you something about the prophetic words, and you know, we're going to teach a lot as we go along, but I want to share this with you. What is so wonderful about the way God does is he doesn't come with one prophet and give you the whole picture.
Yes, that's right. Very good.
He comes and he speaks pieces. Because every one of us sees through the glass darkly. And so he will add pieces. And I love the mosaic that the prophetic word has painted. I've got a wad of prophetic words. I just took them out the back of my Bible. I carry them in the back of the Bible, but it makes it a bit thick when I'm preaching from it. And it's wonderful to see the wonderful mosaic, the interweaving, what God says. Val was woken up. She was in Cape Town staying with some friends of ours who will be here tomorrow. And the Lord gave Val a prophetic word for Bev and I, and so she put it on tape and sent it to us. And Val said about Bev, "I'm giving you a new name, Shekinah." We go to the States a few weeks later. And we're in a prophetic gathering in Florida. And a woman there says, "The Lord says your name is Shekinah." And what's God saying? Well, you see, a few years before that, in a Benny Hinn meeting, when Benny Hinn laid hands on Bev and I and then left us on the floor and walked all around us, God said to Bev, "Will you take my glory around the earth?" See? And so Errol joked about Bev saying, you know, I've got so much glory on the inside of me and glory on the outside, I've got to put on sunglasses to look at myself. She's just aware that God has spoken a prophetic word through Val, confirmed it through Joy in Florida, a word that he had spoken in her life that she is a carrier. And in fact, Val used the word, sanctuary, which is a landing strip, and that God was looking for a landing strip, and he found a landing strip in Bev, you see. And, you know, if Bev had to tell you about her being in America, this woman is not ashamed to witness to anything that moves and speak to anybody, anywhere, at any time. And so God is so happy because he can splash his glory over anybody, everywhere, and so on. You know, all the little mosaics fitted together. All the words fit together. And who knows where it'll be. I'm just hanging on to her. I'm going with her, you know. And she's going with me toward the fulfillment of my prophetic destiny, which is phenomenal as well. And every, you know, I mean, yeah. So God is going to add a little bit more momentum to you this week. Another little nudge. Another little push forward. I got this little word from the Lord, nudgeology. I like God's nudgeology. You know, he just comes and gives you a little nudge in the right direction. I'm praying you're going to get more than a nudge. You're going to get a ram, you know, butt, and just move forward in your journey these days. Father, I thank you for what you're purposing to do. God, we want to finish on Friday night with such a prophetic anointing having been released on everyone who attends. God, that this city will never be the same, because the Church of Jesus Christ is growing up into being a mature prophet like Jesus was, to declare the kingdom purposes of God. Lord, I just right now, I receive the prophetic anointing that you want to release in this place. I release the prophetic ministry through Val and Bev. And Lord, we just embrace and we receive your word right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.